Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is about training, and we're going to discuss the perfectionist conundrum. So what this is a client and I were talking earlier today about how much struggle in your training is the right amount of struggle. So we were specifically doing a single leg stiff leg deadlift with a kettlebell. So she was holding onto the kettlebell with both hands because it was a pretty heavy kettlebell for her, and she was standing on one leg. So she was trying to tip forward like hinge from the hips and have the kettlebell touch the ground directly in front of her toes, and then she was kind of balancing on one leg, so the other leg would be kind of kicking back behind her to kind of balance the body weight out in front of her, plus the kettlebell. And then she was going to pull through her hamstrings, glutes, and a little bit of her lower back and stuff to try to uprate herself. So she was balancing on one leg and doing stiff leg deadlifts. And what was funny was she's working on the strength and the coordination of that movement. So there's two components. Is she strong enough to lift it? And can she stay balanced enough to lift it? So what we were talking about was her balance was actually the issue. So we were trying to get 10 good reps. And any time she misfaulted, like in her pattern, it would obviously not count. So maybe she would go on the way down, she'd kind of lose her balance and have to put her other foot down to kind of catch herself. Then she'd stand back up at the top and start over again. But that wouldn't count as a rep. Or she would have the kettlebell touch the ground. On her way back up, she'd lose her balance and she'd put her other foot down too early before the hip on the leg that was down could finish its glute contraction. So therefore, that rep didn't count. So it actually took her 17 attempts to get 10 good reps. And then right after the set, when we were done, she goes, "Oh my gosh, I don't think I'm strong enough to do this." And I kind of looked at her and I was like, you just did 17 reps and you don't think you're strong enough for 10. And we were laughing how it wasn't strength wasn't the problem. So she was strong enough to do 17 reps, but only 10 of them were like good, but she did move the dang kettlebell 17 different times. So it wasn't strength, it was actually the balance was the issue. Now, she can balance against her own body weight or against really lightweight, but with that, for her, it was a 40-pound kettlebell that was the difficulty for her, and it was a heavy weight. So the struggle became, not only was it heavy in the sense of, not only was it imbalanced, like she was standing on one leg, That was one set of difficulty or one unique aspect of the difficulty. But then there was the physical strength to be able to move the kettlebell. And we were at such a close amount of strength tension or stress that it was really close to her max that it was really throwing off her balance. So we think about if she had 100% of herself to give, she might give, you'd say, like 50% to balance and 50% to the strength. Well, the problem was is that the weight of the kettlebell required more than 50%. So she had to give maybe 70 or 80% of her attention to the strength aspect of that movement and could only give 20 or 30% to the balance. So you only have as much as yourself like to give at one time. So she had divided amongst two jobs. So when we were getting done with it, she said, "Dang, you know, like I can't believe it took me that many. I can't believe I took 17. Was that even worth doing?" And that became the conversation of how perfect do things have to be for them to be quote-unquote correct enough to get the results we want. But we all know that if it's too perfect, if it's too easy, you don't get much change. So I always tell her, and we kind of discuss general concepts when we train, is I hate giving her direct answers. And she probably hates that I don't give her direct answers, but it doesn't help her learn. So we always play little games where if she has a question, I'll kind of ask her questions back. And then she'll find the answer herself. So this is probably very comical to her because she was a counselor slash therapist. So she probably loves the fact that I reply to her questions with questions. It's probably a good little bit of irony there and torture. So I always ask her is, if she did something, say she got 10 and it was kind of, It was like hard, like 80, 90% kind of hard, but she could do all 10, they were all correct. So I would always ask her is, do you think your current body needs to change from that stimulus? So is what you did hard enough that your current body says, oh man, I have to improve if we ever do that again? And she'll know right away. She'll go, no, it wasn't. You know, and that's typically the reason why I ask the question, is because she already knows I'm asking because she didn't push hard enough, or we didn't try hard enough, or we weren't challenged enough. So that would be the idea, is think about what you're doing to your body. Is if you were to repeat that, so if you did, like, say you went through a workout today, and you're like, yeah, that was kind of hard, but I wonder if it was hard enough. Okay, well, if you repeat that workout, does your current body have to make adjustments or corrections in order to survive if that stimulus were repeated? So if you did that workout the next day, the next day, the next day, would your body have to make minor adjustments, and maybe by the fourth or fifth day it would be fine? Or would it say, holy hell, there's no way I'm going to survive that again. I have got to do X. So whatever your stimulus was, whether it was a heavy stimulus, it would have to get stronger. If your stimulus involved muscular damage, then it would have to get bigger, tighter toned, all those kind of muscle manipulation terms. Or if your stimulus was cardiovascular, it would have to get better at cardiovascular resistance or endurance. So it would have to make the adaptations to the cardiovascular system. So what you challenge it with will dictate what response you get, but also the degree in which you challenge. So if you challenge it hard enough that it says, holy crap, that was miserable, I better make some changes if we ever do that again. That's kind of the stimulus and kind of the response that you want from your training. So if your body goes through that and it goes, oh, I didn't really like that. But that's all it says, is I didn't like that. But it doesn't feel the need to change to adapt to it, then you're not going to get much for that training. So yeah, you're going to burn calories and maybe get some fat loss for the sense that you were just busy, but you're not going to get one of those other adaptations, those deeper, more meaningful adaptations of increased strength or muscle manipulation or cardiovascular or muscular endurance manipulation. So you have to think to yourself is, if I can already do this, does my body really need to change for it? And if not, then you're not going to get much from your training. Okay. Then the counter to that point is, if you can't do it well enough, if what you're doing looks like absolute crap, your form is horrible, and you're involving so many other muscles than what you really wanted, are you even going to get the right adaptation? Are you going to get the right change? So if I want my biceps to grow, but it looks like I'm swinging the weight and dry humping the air, and my biceps are doing 10% of the work, and my low back is doing 90%, that's not going to get me big biceps. So we have to make sure that the adaptation, like the stimulus, stays where we want it, but it has to be challenging enough where we want it to elicit a result. And that becomes the perfectionist conundrum, in a sense, to where, how perfect do you need to be? If you're too perfect in your training and you do everything where it's like an 80-90% challenge, but it's within your current comfort zone, okay, so if you draw a little circle of your current comfort zone, and maybe you fill up that entire zone and you did a full workout that used everything within that zone, why would that zone expand? It wouldn't need to, right? So if I do everything too perfectly, that it never pushes the boundaries of my comfort zone, then I don't get great results because you're just staying within what you're already capable of. However, if I do a bunch of crazy, insane stuff, smash my comfort zone, but I do it so poorly that I'm stimulating the wrong things, I'm going to get the wrong adaptations. So that would be an example of, I don't want to pick actual people. So let's just say that there's this category of human beings where they'll be doing, like, say, a back squat, and every time they squat, their back rounds over and it looks like a damn, like, good morning. Well, what, they're not building their legs. They're not building their skill of a squat. They're just building their low back and mid-back survival of really heavy crap trying to break them in half. So they're going to wonder why their squat strength never really progresses, because they're not stimulating all of the muscles of the squat, and they're not stimulating the correct pathway. So they're moving in a horrible pathway, which is not replicable and it wouldn't be desired to be repeated. And they're not best stimulating all the muscles because they're just overloading everything. Their back rounds over and takes over everything. So their legs aren't being maximally stimulated. They're not being able to keep their core tight. So if you lift something really heavy and your form looks like crap, your progression is going to be crap. So you'll hit the limit of that strongest muscle trying to do most of the work, and it'll eventually just get injured or it'll plateau. And if it plateaus and you keep smashing against it, then you definitely will become injured. So that's the idea of something being so overwhelming that your body can't adapt to it. And we said the other example would be like the bicep curls. So where somebody's dry humping the air and overusing their lower back and front shoulders, they're not going to get very big biceps. So they're going to be able to, you know, brag and tell people they can curl 135-pound barbell, but you look like a moron. So it may sound good in being people being told that you do that, but once they see you do it, they'll be like, this guy's an idiot. And then you'll have, like, no long-lasting respect for that. Then also we think about, say somebody goes out and they do some cardio. So I want to go out one day. I'm feeling fired up. I'm ready to go. So I'm going to go run 5 miles. But I never normally run any miles. I never normally run. But somehow that day I run 5 miles. I barely survive. Some of it was walking. Shin splints out the wazoo. Blisters all over my feet. I feel like death. I feel so miserable that I don't do it again. Well, that's not a very good amount of stimulus either. That is way too much of a stimulus. So if you crush yourself so badly that you don't bother repeating it, you're going to get a very small amount of adaptation from that one time, but then you're not going to do it again, so therefore you're not going to get any more adaptation. And since you're not doing it anymore, that adaptation will eventually drop back down. So you only get to keep what you keep using. So if I get a positive benefit or a positive adaptation, I only get to keep that if I keep using it. So if I get a positive adaptation, but then I don't do diddly, it goes away. So you'll see this all the time in people doing aesthetic competitions or strength-based competitions, is like the 4 months leading up to the competition, they crush everything. They do awesome with their food. They do awesome with their sleep. They do awesome with their training. They become awesome. And then all of a sudden they're like, screw that shit. And their diet goes to crap. Their training's inconsistent. Their sleep is whoever, you know, like it is what it is, but they're not paying attention to it anymore. Well, then all of a sudden they gain body fat back, or they lose strength. They lose some muscle mass. And you just have these big like peaks and valleys of their progress. And they might do that for years and years. And maybe 3 or 4 years later, they don't look like they got much for their effort. It doesn't mean that they didn't go anywhere in that time frame. So in the span of 3 years, it wasn't like they flatlined. They had a good time of going up, but then they didn't maintain it and they dropped back down. So you only get to keep the adaptations that you continually stimulate. So that's a big thing to think of too. So if we think about this perfectionist conundrum, how perfect is too perfect? How crappy is too crappy? What is the answer? And it's really just a general feel, and it's something that you have to develop over time. So the general answer would be to create a challenge specific to the adaptation you want. So if I want to get stronger, I have to lift something heavy that stimulates the strength processes of my body. If I want to get bigger muscles, I have to do something mediumly heavy that stimulates muscular damage, and therefore my muscles will respond. If I want to get muscular endurance, I have to do something that burns the hell out of my muscles and makes them really tired and fatigued, and therefore they'll respond to that way. So you have to create a challenge specific to the adaptation you want. That's the first part. And you want to barely be able to survive it with pretty good form. Now that's the part that takes some time to kind of interpret and adjust to. So barely being able to survive it with pretty good form means that overwhelmingly you had pretty good form in the sense that the stimulus stayed in the muscles and or movement pattern that you wanted. Once your movement pattern breaks, you no longer are getting the adaptation that you wanted. So when I work with my online clients and in-person clients for strength training specific to say like powerlifting, the second their squat does not look correct, I tell them exactly what they need to correct and move. You know, maybe they need to shift themselves back onto their heels as they're going down. Maybe they need to tilt their hips first before they start going down. Maybe they didn't have their core braced well. But we tell them the cues that would be needed to get them back to the right position. And if they can't maintain that good position, then the weight's going to come down. So there's no point in practicing the wrong movement pattern because you're just going to ingrain the wrong habits into your body. So it'd be just like any other skill. If there's a certain way to, I don't know. I'm not a mechanic, but like if there's a certain way to put an engine back together, it has to be done in those steps. You can't just willy-nilly throw stuff back together in any order you want, and then like an IKEA table, you're left with four or five extra parts at the end and say, oh, that's good enough. Nope. So you need all of the parts in all the right places. So what we mean by pretty good means that for the most part, like 80, 90% of the reps, you stayed in the correct movement pattern. Once you kind of fell out of the pattern, you were able to correct it and move back. So maybe you got one or two reps wrong here or there, but overwhelmingly, it was all pretty good. Now, if out of, say, like, say you're doing four sets of five, so that's 20 reps. Maybe out of the 20 reps, 17 looked really good and three looked kind of iffy, but you were able to correct them or address them. Great, that's a good workout. If all 20 out of all 20 looked great, and you're like, I probably could have done a little more weight or I could have done a few more reps, then that might not be enough of a stimulus. And you might need to challenge yourself a little bit more. However, if only 10 out of the 20 looked good, well, then that was horrible, bad choice on you. You got to lighten that weight or you got to fine tune your reps. So that's the idea of what we talk about pretty good is around, if we have to put a number to it, a stamp on it, I would say about 90% of your reps should look correct. Like if somebody were to film you, you would say, yep, that looks good. Or you'd be proud for somebody to look at that one. Okay? But if half your reps look like crap and you'd be embarrassed by half of them, then that's not good. So I would say that you're probably going to look for around that 90% mark. And then what we say by barely surviving, it means for you to get 90% of it correct, it took everything you had. So there wasn't anything left at the end of that workout where you're like, oh, I definitely could have done a little bit more. You get to the end and you go, holy crap. That was awesome. Glad I did that, but I'm also glad I'm leaving. So that's what you're looking for. So a challenge specific to the adaptation that you want, something challenging enough that you barely survive it, and something challenging enough that it causes you to lose form here or there, but you get about 90% of the stuff correct. So if you put all that together, that equals the right amount of work per workout, okay, and the right type of work. So that takes time to learn. And what I was talking about with the client earlier today is we came up for a terminology we called the need for three. And what we meant by that was she often in her training, she'll try a rep and it's wrong in one way. She tries to correct it, but she overcorrects it and gets it wrong in another way. And then finally, the third one, she lands somewhere in the middle. So that's what we were saying is sometimes people ask, I'll show them a movement and they do one rep and they go, is that right? And I'm like, you only tried one, so don't be depressed or sad or discouraged if you got that one wrong because you've only done one. That is not a very good library of experiences and feelings. So I usually tell them, just go ahead and get 10 in and we'll kind of, you're not bad enough that you're going to get hurt. So I wouldn't let them keep going if they're going to get hurt. But I would say, just go ahead and get 10 in. And then we can start to identify which reps were good for which reasons and which ones were wrong for which reasons. So it's almost like you have to have enough repetitions in to know which ones were right, which ones were wrong for one way, and which ones were wrong almost in an overcompensation of the other way. So it's kind of like the need for three means you have to have the under right, the over right, and then just right. So what this means is what I was telling her was, don't be discouraged if right away you have trouble identifying what's right and or you have trouble just doing what's right because you haven't done it enough yet for your body to know the right versus the wrong. So you have to do enough repetitions, enough practice, and over time your body starts identifying not only what's, wrong one way, wrong the other way, and right in the middle, but there will be gray areas even in between that. So as you do, say, 1,000 reps, there might be 100 that were perfect, maybe 100 on the left of that and 100 to the right of that were kind of sort of good, maybe good enough, not sure. Then 100 on the even far left of that and 100 on the far right of that, those were like, okay, they're definitely not right, but they're not like horrible, horrible. And then you would further go out in the scale to where like in the very ends, it's like, these are atrocious, look horrible, I hope nobody was watching me. So that's the idea. So just practice, practice, practice. And be mindful of what you're doing while you're doing them. So overwhelmingly, people just do the reps and think that the effort of just doing them is good enough. Absolutely not. You have to refine your effort and do them better over time. So what lazy, crappy reps got you adaptations at the beginning will not get you adaptations later on. So the reps and the quality of effort have to fine-tune themselves and get better quality if you want to continue to get better quality results. So, kind of crappy things, but just slamming through them will get you beginning results, and you will be a beginner. But that will not get you to intermediate, and it will hell definitely not get you to advanced. So you have to fine-tune your efforts and try to continually try to say, was that as good as I could do, or could I do it better? So that's what we come away with. So the perfectionist conundrum is you don't want to be too perfect, but you don't want to be too crappy. So you don't want to aim for perfection. You want to aim for progression. I said that really weird. So let me rewind. So don't aim for perfection, aim for progression. So what that means is don't aim to try to be perfect all the time, because that takes forever, and once you do achieve perfection, there's no point in doing that, because now your body won't even change to that. So if your current body can already do it perfectly, why the hell would it change? So don't aim for perfection. Aim for around that 90% challenge, and aim for the right to move up in weight, or move up in reps. Aim for the right to progress and challenge yourself more. So the goal of training isn't to eliminate the presence of challenge. It is to continually do cooler shit while being challenged. So that's the idea of training. So don't train with the purpose of eliminating difficulty. That's stupid, and once the difficulty is gone, so will your results be gone. So don't aim for perfection. Aim to just kind of challenge yourself in harder and cooler ways. Okay? So that's the real goal. So that's what you want to aim for. Okay, so this was more conceptual, but hopefully it was helpful in understanding how difficult our training should be. So if you're too much of the perfectionist nature, you need to ask yourself at the end of your workout is, does my current body need to change to adapt to this stimulus? If my current body can already do it, and it was kind of uncomfortable, but my current body can already do it, then I'm probably not going to change much from it. On the other spectrum is, if you come into the gym in hashtag go beast mode, and just quote-unquote kill it, and everything looks like trash, you're not going to get great results. So the quality of what you do has to be there. So you have to push yourself up to at least being 90% correct. Then you perfectionist people, you have to allow yourself to get 10% of stuff wrong. Challenge yourself enough that there's a little bit of wavering in your perfectionism. Okay? So hopefully this gave you a good perspective, something to think of, and it'll help improve the quality of your training. Cool. So, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please, please, please share it, okay? So, the more people we share this information with, the happier everybody's going to be, because they're going to get better nutrition, training, and mindset out of their life. They're going to live healthier and happier lives. So, save them from their ignorance. So, and please share the podcast when you can. So if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you. So we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can reach us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.